We're continuing on with our class in prayer and looking at, you know, examples throughout the Old and New Testament on people of God that showed their faith and their prayer life in the examples we read. We looked at the example last week of David, and I just called those short prayers, 3-second prayers. You know, I had to wrap it up at the end of the class real fast. You know, one of my, I don't know, favorite, but interesting parts of that story that I talked about was, you know, kind of a side story to, well, one of the side stories to the prayer, but Ahithophel, you know, that was a prayer, make foolish the counsel of Ahithophel. And really the end of that story that I didn't get to was that, of course, we understand that Ahithophel's counsel was made foolish. But the end of that story was when Ahithophel saw that his advice wasn't taken, he didn't wait around to see how that was going to play out. The scriptures say that he went back to his hometown, to his house, put his house in order, and he went out and hung himself. Because his advice was that good that he knew things were going to go bad, and it wasn't going to be good to him, and he didn't need to wait around to find out what was going to happen. He already knew what was going to happen. I just thought that was a really fascinating part of that story. I went, well, there's a guy who's either, you know, egotistical or just knows that he's right, and he's probably thinking, how in the world did my advice, you know, not get taken? And it was because of David's prayer on the short prayer. So that was we're gonna move on to, you know, progressively longer prayers in this next class. Any just last minute thoughts anybody had or comments that they wanted to make that might not have had time to make on short prayers, short and right to the point prayers from last week. You know, hopefully, I think looking at some of these examples. In my mind, in the past, I'd kind of had prayers kind of fixed in a pattern, and that's why short prayers were not really, you know, part of my habit, because, you know, I thought that we've got to have an introduction, we've got to conclude it, and if you can't get all that in, you can't throw a prayer in there. And I think is just two of the examples we've seen in the Bible. That's not the case. These are, you know, people of faith that just shows us glimpses of their prayer life. Okay, I want to go through a quick example here. I think many of you have probably seen or heard this example. I know that it's been done in invitations. There was this professor goes out to his class, and he pulls out a jar, and he says, okay, is there anything in this jar? And of course, students go, no. And so then he proceeds to take some big rocks, and he carefully fills the jar up with these big rocks. And he says, okay, now, you know, is the jar full? Is the jar complete? And of course, students go, yeah, the jar's full. So then he grabs, you know, a bucket of gravel, and he proceeds to pour the bucket of gravel in the jar until the jar is full. And then he says, okay, now is that jar full? Is that jar complete? And they might have hesitated a little bit, but, you know, most of them said, yeah, that jar is full. It's complete. And he grabs another bucket of sand, and he proceeds to then fill that jar up with sand. And he says, okay, what's the point of this exercise? Get on the first row, throws his hand up in the jar, and he says, you can always do more than what you think you can do. To which the professor said, no, that is not the point of this exercise. The point of the exercise is this. If you don't put the big rocks in the jar first, you won't get them in later. That's the order that things need to come in. So, put that imagery in your mind as we talk about Yeah, we talked about 3 second prayers, and in this class on prayers, I started with that first, and so I'm kind of working backwards. Today we're going to talk about prayers of preparing to pray. And we see a lot of examples in God's Word about people that are preparing themselves and are able to, you know, then go to God without any distractions. Now, there's actually a type of prayer, and again, I'm just kind of calling these things for categories. God didn't put them in these categories. But I find myself, and I look at it, really in the past have been in the what I call multitasking prayer. By that I mean, and maybe some of you, you know, can relate to that. Say I'm driving to work. It's a good quiet time. Nobody's talking to me. I'm not going to have any interruptions. And I'm not saying that I'm always doing this when I'm praying, but and my drive is actually not that combative. You know, I grew up in Houston. I know about combat driving. That's how I was raised. You know, it's a nice farm road to New Braunfels, so it's a pretty good time. That's what I'm going to call multitasking prayer because, you know, hey, I was already driving. I've got that time. That's not a bad time. But it's multitasking because I'm also doing something else. I'm actually my brain is working and having to, you know, could be distracted because squirrel could run across the road and, you know, hey, look, a squirrel. What are some other examples? And again, I'm not bringing this up at all to impugn multitasking prayers, but to understand the categories of prayers as I'm going to call them. What would be some other type of multitasking prayers that we do or can do that we take advantage of that time? Yeah, Marnie. Yeah, you bring up something that I was thinking of as I was going to talk about, you know, preparing and being able to be, you know, I remember my wife, you know, when you're raising children, that is almost non-existent. So, you know, as I use some of these examples, you young mothers don't start to feel guilty because you're doing what God wants you to do. You're raising a family. I can remember Christy, you know, saying this, she longed for the time that she could go to the bathroom without somebody watching her. And that is the way it is with young children. And not that I, because I, when my kids were that age, I've told young people that are raising families, I said, it doesn't get any busier than this. I long to go to work so that I can rest. And my wife would always say, oh yeah, you get to go to work and you get to have, you know, have lunch with interesting people. And I go, they're not that interesting. Just to clarify, but that is true. I do get to get away from that. So Barney brings up a good point that I was going to also mention. For those of you who are in that stage, I don't want you at all to somehow feel inadequate as we talk about, you know, taking time and getting away for prayer. I know that there, as my wife would always call it, the seasons in life. And that is a season of life. Thank you for bringing that up. What are some other, and so mothers, you know, they're mastering the multitasking prayer. Corky. Don't get distracted and put your tie in that milling machine or something like that.
That's right. Mowing the grass.
Mowing the grass, yeah. Yeah.
Vacuuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exercising, shower, you know, all these are good multitasking times. And we're gonna look at some examples of actually dedicated prayer that would be in a different category. And I really wasn't gonna spend much time on the multitasking, other than just acknowledge that is, you know, there is no bad time to go to God. Yeah, Ken. Yeah.
You know, is that there's times when you can inject your thoughts to God.
That's exactly right. And so kind of, I'm working backwards here. You know, we talked about the 3-second prayer last week, and that's not from the Bible. I just made that up or categorized it that way. But the multitasking prayer, I guess, would be the next step. In Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, let me get there real quick. We're going to look at an example of, this will lead us into a discussion on dedicated prayer. Make sure that this verse comes up here. Sure, why that's not going forward, but I'll just do it old school here. Daniel 6, chapter 2. We're familiar with the story, so I won't necessarily go into the story like we went into the story of Ahithophel or Nehemiah. But you know, we know that Daniel was an edict had been made. There's no praying to anybody else besides the king. And in verse 10, it says, "Okay, here's what Daniel then did." So Daniel went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So just from this verse and actually the verses that preceded, when we know a little bit about Daniel because both Ken and Ben did a class on Daniel. What do we know, and what can we, you know, deduce from Daniel and his prayer life that we can go, oh, if Daniel can do that, then you know, why shouldn't we be able to do that? Well, first of all, what was Daniel had a dedicated habit here, didn't he? It was a dedicated habit. 3 times a day, he went to his upper chamber and he got down on his knees and he prayed. So what we can, you know, pull out of this about Daniel is he made it a priority to have a private time to go to God without any distractions. And that's why I'm glad Marty brought up that point and gave me chance to talk about that when Lindsay, you're not going to have 3 times a day. You're not going to have 1 time. There are people who have need of you. But are we thinking, okay, well, I could do that if I was retired and I had plenty of time on my hands. What do we know about Daniel that would tell us that's really not the case, that he had... He had plenty of time to kill, and he could do this. What? Yeah, and what kind of position did he have? Satrap. Yeah, he was one of 3 people that were running the largest empire in the world. And where did he rank in one of those 3 people? He was the highest because the king was thinking, this guy's doing such a great job. I think I'm going to put him over everything. The king was looking for some spare time. He's, you know, he had some wars going on, things like that. He's, you know, busy guy. So, you know, I need somebody to just run everything. Somebody in position, you know, you guys have probably seen this. What's the old saying? You want something done, go find the busiest person and go pick them to do it. And, you know, if you're the busiest person, you're going, really? You know, this is my reward for being busy. You get rewarded with more stuff. That was Daniel. Daniel was the busiest guy there was. He had people that were, he had to have a line of people that were always seeking his audience because he was keeping stuff off the king. which is the king, I'm sure, had a great appreciation for. He was highly, highly capable man, and was being rewarded. And clearly that was God's hand in that. So what does that tell us about what rocks, what order that David put things in his jar in first? You know, I'm going to go back to that analogy. Think of the rocks as these are the dedicated prayers that I'm going to put before God. The gravel is these are my multitasking prayers, and the sand that fills that in, those are my 3-second prayers. That's a complete trying to get to a complete prayer life. And if we just got gravel there, I've been there, you know, as I think back on it, I go, you know, I've been in multitasking mode a lot. You know, I call every Monday as I'm driving to work, I call my mom because I'm driving to work. I'm not doing anything else. I need to call my mom that this is a good time. And you know what happens? By the time I get to the office, Mom, I got to go. I'm at the office. And Mom, you know, she's just happy that she gets in there once a week. Would I be honoring my mom more if I took a part out of my work day, the busiest time of my day, and I called my mom because I'm clearing my schedule and my mom's important to me? And Mom, I just want to talk to you. And she knows that I'm driving to work, and she realizes, yeah, okay, yeah, he's busy, got things to do, and I'm just glad to be able to talk to him. Daniel... Julie, you about to say something there? Okay. Daniel, busiest guy in the kingdom, and I don't know how he's doing this, but clearly everybody knew he was doing this, because guess when they couldn't talk to him? Those three times out of the day. He said, you know, it's one thing that kind of impressed me about the Muslims, even though they are worshiping a false god, and have a false religion. A lot of them don't realize that. But one thing they do is they, you know, we had some guys visiting the company I used to work for from Saudi Arabia, and one of them looked at his watch and he said, "Do you have an office, you know, empty office we could use?" And it suddenly dawned on me why he was asking, because he said, "Can you tell me which way is east?" And he, you know, their prayer habit is to face east and pray at, I guess, noon, and that was for their lunchtime prayer. That's putting into their lives times of dedicated prayer to God, like Daniel did. And we know, and other things we can just pull out of this one verse. He made a point to be secluded. You know, why is that important? I think that's a kind of a softball question. Distraction is kind of like, you know, I just mentioned when I'm doing a multitasking prayer. And you know what happens about you? You know, you can drop the soap. You can have a squirrel run across the road. You can, you know, have somebody call on your phone or something like that. But the dedicated prayers is clearing everything out and being able to talk to God on a regular basis and on a scheduled basis. It's kind of a prep work for this class, and you've got a couple different, several topics. And as I think about these topics, I think about friends of mine that have influenced me or in the course of our relationship have mentioned something that they do, and it, you know, it's impressed me to make a note of that. So I called, I'm purposely picking people you guys don't know, because if I were picking anybody here, you'd be embarrassed and not happy with me. But a guy by the name of Jim Kirby, some of you know Jim. And Jim is a list guy. I mean, almost where he needs to be put away, his obsessions with lists are. So when I was thinking about, you know, the dedicated prayers and making sure that you are getting everything in that you either told somebody that you were going to do, or in the course of a conversation, you told somebody, I'm going to pray for you on that. And I don't know about you, but there's times where somebody's told me this story. They were, walking and they see somebody and they went, oh, I told that person I was going to pray for him. And they quickly went, said a quick prayer. When they saw him, they went, I prayed for you. Got that in under the wire. I was really impressed one time in a conversation that I had with this guy that he talked about. We were just generally into the topic of lists, and his life is list driven, and of course that naturally floated over into prayer. And so I called and I said, okay, because one time he was telling me some things he was praying for me about, and he said, okay, I got this system, and he says, I got this list. And of course, I knew that he made lists. And he goes, these are my daily prayers. And he goes, and I'll do this. This will stay on there for a month or 2 months. And then they flip to then they're going to go to the weekly prayer. And then he goes, and that flips to a monthly prayer. And I'm like, okay, Jim, you need an intervention. Not an intervention, but I mean, that I'm impressed. So as I was talking to him this week, he said, send me one of your, first of all, he sent me his Excel file. And he goes, I also make notes, and so I do this and do that. And he was telling me that he's got two scheduled prayers. He says, one is when he's home, and he goes, it's after I finish my second cup of coffee. So I get up and he's in a room, with himself. And he's got this, he'll pull his list out. And that's he's using that list. And, I just want to bring that up also. Some misconceptions I kind of had in my head for quite a while. When you lead in a public prayer, and I thought it was cheating to make a list and have your eyes open. There is no, God doesn't say you can't have your eyes open. You go over a list of three, you go to the number four thing, and that draw, I think the average person is six, and mine's three, and I'm doing good at that. So I got to write these things down. And so that's just what I started to do on public prayers is, It's important, to get those people prayed for. Got to have a list to do that, and a list like that probably Jim could have that memorized, but he's got a list, and so I had a fun time talking to him about that. I won't ever get to that level of list, but it gives me. And a couple of Jim. That's a good example for me to at least go, I could certainly do a better job on that and make sure that I get more people in. And I was impressed by that. Things like that stuck in my mind. There was a preacher one time, congregation that Chris and I used to attend, and he was a visiting preacher. He'd kind of been there, a couple times throughout the year. And he talked about something that stuck out in his mind when he was talking to the congregation. He said there was a congregation he was talking to, and he said, I got to tell you, this is on my heart. I'm having a hard time with my son, and I appreciate prayers, on behalf of my son. And this guy was, as he related the story, he said, the next year he came back to that place, and there was an older woman who came up to him, and she said, I just want you to know this. She said, I haven't missed a day that I prayed for your son. I mean, that's gold. You have somebody like that that's praying for you. I mean, and that's the way that guy related that. He said that just, that sank deep with him. And he was really appreciative. So I don't know if Daniel had a list or not. I mean, I guess paper wasn't is easy to write on. It was a scroll. I don't know what he did. But I don't know how they remembered things because of how expensive the scrolls were. I guess he was one of the most important guys in the largest empire in the world. I guess he could afford to make a list on a scroll and probably do that. Yeah, Drew. You mean to. You mean to do it. Yeah.
And, you know,
been there.
Just this week, I thought about that a whole lot because I had sent somebody a message and I said, you know, our prayers are with you. And when I sent, just before I sent it, I said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say a prayer when I hit send.
That's.
So I hit send and said a prayer. You know?
That's good. You are in good company, I suspect, Drew. You are in good company. Yeah. Yeah, and that's when somebody knows, you know what, this guy really did that. I mean, we're all assuming that the people are doing that, but we're also, maybe a part of us are going, okay, I know I've failed at that. Maybe that other guy's failed at that. But that's actually a good thing. I was having a conversation with, you know, another brother. We talked about that. You know, sometimes you get an email or see a Facebook that says, hey, this person needs our prayers. Guess when the best time for that prayer to be offered? Right then. And should that then go on our list and when we have that dedicated moment of prayer? Absolutely. But... That's easy. Yeah.
Instead of putting it off and saying, well, I'll do this later.
Right.
And so when you tell somebody that we'll be praying for you, you got to really mean it. And the best way to really mean it is as soon as you hang up from you pray for them, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think if this was me, Robin Bruce, or me, Robin Ken. I'm trying to get my chronology right, so forgive me, Kenneth. You know, one of the things that the elders like to do, and know we need to be better routine about it, but we tell everybody we want to pray with people, and so we do that in that back room, and you know we said at one point, you know, maybe we could get to more people if we actually kind of worked the crowd, pulled somebody aside and just kind of said, you know, while everybody's, you know, talking in here, let's just pray with you right here and get we're able to get more prayers in. We did that one time. We were kind of back there. And I guess when you're in a room and you're all talking and you look over and you see somebody praying and you get quiet and you kind of want to, oh, people are praying over there, which was not what we wanted. You know, we wanted to be able to, and so we realized, okay, that might not work because we're then making other people feel like, oh, somehow my conversation is interrupting that, which was we wanted to do that just as parallel with all that going on, didn't interrupt that. So, was that so that was that wasn't Bruce, that was you, Ken. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what's wrong? And so, you know, and maybe actually that would work if we just tell everybody, you know, this is going to happen sometimes. Just keep going, do what you're doing. You're fine. Yeah, Laura. You're one of my people that I would have interviewed,
yes.
but I didn't want to point your name out.
Yes, and I want to say that today I came with a broken heart because two of my kids needs a lot of help, prayers. You know, they have some problems, serious problems, and I've been praying for them. And I need the church to pray also for them, for my family, especially, you know, health issues. And And I think the problem, the most biggest problem, is that they don't get close to the Lord. It's so easy.
That's all a problem,
yeah. It's so easy because, you know, Lord, He's always there for us with arms open, you know. And I really believe He's listening to me. But I need prayers for, you know, God always say in 2 or 3, I'll be there. I'll be with you, you know. So I ask some prayers for them.
Don't be discouraged. You are a testament to your family.
Yes, they do have a promise, and they are there, and I left, and I say, I'm going to get, you know, worship God. I cannot be away from the table of the Lord. So, you know, I just want some prayers, you know, for them.
Let's pray for Laura. Father, our sister Laura has opened her heart to us this morning, and her what's heavy on her heart is her children. Father, we, those of us who have families, we understand that, and we know you understand that better than us. We ask that you would be with her, and as she's been such a good example to her family, she is a shining light. Help her family and their hearts. We know that she's been an influence on them. She may not realize that. They are better for her. And our hope and our prayer is that example will come through and their hearts will change and soften and recognize you as God and the completeness of their life. Help them to realize that and help us to realize that. Amen. You look, when we go back to the rock and the gravel and the sand example. I think that's the takeaways that I hope to talk about this morning is that's where we start. We start with dedicated prayers because that's what makes the other prayers work. That's what makes the multitasking prayers work. That's what makes the 3-second prayers work. It's those prayers that people of God have made the priority in their day. And there's not anybody in this room is more busy than Daniel. I say that. Look, mothers with young children are busier than Daniel. I know that. That is absolutely true. So, again, I'm glad Marty mentioned that because I don't want that category, or caregivers, or, you know, people, you know, to suddenly feel like they're, you know, you're doing what God wants you to do, and this is that's your season in this life. But for those of us who go, yeah, I could do that, and my friend Jim Kirby, he's a busy guy. I'm just constantly amazed at the things that he gets done. You know, it's like some of you have read the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Well, these are, you know, I guess this could be three habits of highly effective prayer life, and that's dedicated prayer, multitasking prayer, and 3-second prayer. So I just want to also, of course, talk about Jesus and the examples that he provided for us in his prayer life. We were already thinking about several verses where Jesus is going and withdrawing from himself. You know, I thought about this as you see all that. You know, at some point they're all bedding down for the night or something like that. And I'm gonna I meant to mention this, throw this in with multitasking prayers. I mean. You know, that's a common habit. How many people here have gone to bed and start praying and then you fall asleep? And I talked to somebody about that. You know, people about that, and they go, yeah, I feel bad about that. So, you know, I can't imagine something, of course, that you should fall asleep. That's very comforting. And you're talking to your father and you're telling him about your day. But that's multitasking because you're in bed and you're going, okay, I'm here, I'm in this bed to go to sleep. and okay, this is a good time to pray. And I'm sure the Lord did that. But what we also saw the Lord do is go, I got to get away from these people. Not that these people bothered him, but because his priority was to talk to his father. And he wanted that separation and that private time to be able to talk to his father. And I, you know, we see some prayers where Jesus prayed all night long. When my brother was preaching a couple of Sundays ago, I think he made that comment. He goes, I've never done that. I'm like, yeah, I've never done that either. Jesus did that. And he had a lot on his mind. A great example of that. So this shows that our Lord often took that opportunity. Yeah.
And we build confidence from praying to our Lord. If we just try to find an outlet in any other way, it really doesn't do a whole lot for us in the long term. But praying to God is a way to build confidence.
That's a good point. Kind of like this, I'm recharging my battery here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah,
that's right. Talk about, you think about these Hollywood people and they go, oh, I can never be alone because all these people are just, that was our Lord. Especially, you know, towards the end of his ministry. He was the busiest guy. Somebody had their hand up. Yeah, Ken.
Just one other thing on the Daniel 6 thing. It always impressed me, I know it's kind of a minor deal, but it kind of goes along with the fall and sleep where you're praying. Daniel was praying. They said he got down on his knees. He's in his eights.
Oh, at that point.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah, yeah.
And he's still getting down on his knees. I suspect that was an uncomfortable position that he wouldn't fall asleep while he's praying.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And again, it was public, and you know, as part of that story, it's really easy to catch Daniel doing that because, he probably went in a bad section of town. He was probably, you know, somewhere in the palace. But, you know, with a window open to, you know, the streets within this certain area. And the other satraps were probably in apartments that were somewhere also nearby, probably right across from him. And it was clear Daniel was doing this every day. And they went, you know, the scriptures say there was nothing they could catch him in except his faith to God. Because that was on display for everybody. And not that, you know, Jesus would later talk about, hey, this verse in Matthew 6:6, but it, you know, this verse is not a don't ever let anybody catch you praying. This was, you know, he was talking about people who were doing it because they wanted to appear pious. And so Jesus says in Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you pray, and this is, you know, right on the heels of there's people that are doing that because this is what is highly exalted in our society and culture, and they want to be seen as highly exalted in our culture. Daniel was not seen highly and exalted in his culture because he was praying to God. But Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This verse says God will reward us for praying.
Shorten that prayer.
And that's, again, you know, what you purposed in your heart. And if people have made the decision, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, feel like God knows that I'm thankful for this. I can say a silent prayer, or, and some people do a group prayer or something like that. And that's, yeah, David. And part of that is because, like Babylon, that's not typical of our culture. It tends to stand, you know, to stand out. And so other people who recognize God as first in their lives, you know, don't we identify with people that we see in public like that? And aren't we appreciative when we, you know, our bookkeeper showed me an invoice this week. And at the bottom of the invoice, I can't recall exactly what it said, but it had an email, and it said, "We believe prayer works, and if you have anything that you want us to pray for, we'll do that." And it was on the bottom. This company was on the bottom invoice, and I mean, I've been meaning to, you know, drop those people an email and go, "You know, they appreciate you doing that," and because it stands out. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're praying to draw credit upon yourself and not give credit to the Lord, you're in big trouble. If you're praying because you believe that is what you need to do, to be one of the ways that you can provide a light into the world, that is what God calls us to do. We all have opportunities to do things in different ways.
Yeah.
We've had prayers before at dinner where a waitress has literally come up and put their hands on our shoulders.
Pretty
not
neat.
To interrupt our meal.
Yeah.
You and I have prayed at a little taco stand on the middle of the road where other people are hustling and bustling around. We're not doing that for, honestly, really the sake of other people, even though that might happen from that being observed. We're doing that for our sake of what we believe is the right thing to do. And I think if you do that in the context of that setting, whether it's, you know, at a rest stop, at a restaurant, at work, at whatever the case may be, I think you're okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, well, we're behind schedule. We'll pick right up right there next Sunday, but I want to also throw this out as a thought-provoking, a provocative thought question. You know, we strive to be a New Testament church and follow patterns or examples that we see in the New Testament. I think that should also apply to New Testament Christians. So I'm going to throw this thought question out there, and we'll talk about this next Sunday. Can we be a New Testament Christian if we're not fasting and praying? I'll leave you with that thought, and we'll get back next Sunday.